You're listening to Soul Survivors, ESL Teaching and Expat Life in Seoul, Korea.
Podcasting from an undisclosed Starbucks somewhere in Seoul, it's Seoul Survivors, your weekly source on teaching ESL and living in Seoul. I'm your host, Carl, and with me today is my co-host, Jennifer.
Hi.
Yeah, Jennifer, your sister was going to come. Well, your sister is here now.
Yes, she is visiting me from far, far away.
So she was invited to sort of come today, but she's busy.
Yeah, well, and I was also already in Seoul. So I would have had to go and get her.
Okay,
so.
Yeah, you're a movie star or something.
Something, yeah.
Something like that, yeah. What you were interviewed for a documentary?
Yeah, I got interviewed for a documentary on expat teachers in Korea today.
Oh, really? Is it film or television?
Yes.
Jennifer, someone just points a camera at you and why don't you take your shirt off, actually? And you're like, all right. You don't ask questions.
No, she doesn't have a distributor yet.
Okay.
Her first choice is that she's aiming for is PBS type of market.
Okay, all right.
Do you call it PBS in Canada? Like the public broadcast?
Well, that would be CBC, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, our public broadcaster, but we run ads, beer ads, of course. But but we do get PBS, yeah. Actually, along the border states, Canadians tend to donate disproportionately to the PBS pledge drives and things like that. Yeah, we love the Doctor Who. Because PBS is mostly British, British productions and stuff like that.
It's so funny that people would donate money to get to watch Doctor Who because they're obvious, obviously their filming budget was about $1.50, Wait, I pulled something out of my garage. We can use it for the set.
I thought you were going to say something. These Doctor Who fans are obviously,
No.
They don't have girlfriends to spend their money on. No. So.
Obviously, the production cost absolutely no money, so it seems funny that people would pay money to watch it.
Wow. All
right. Just a bit ironic.
All right, so this woman, so she interviewed you for a documentary about expat teachers just in Korea or
Just in Korea.
Oh, okay. And did she seem kind of shifty and underhanded or?
Not at all.
No.
She actually, she is a former teacher here herself.
Okay.
And now she is a university professor in the States teaching both ESL and screenwriting. So opposite ends of the spectrum.
Okay. Yeah, I gotta warn the listeners. I may do that through the podcast.
I've got to stop smoking in Carl's face.
Yeah, they're painting the halls.
Asbestos removal going well?
Yeah. No, I just got a little bit of a flu cold thingy. But at least I got to use my cough syrup that I bought when I went back to Canada.
You got some use for it.
Yeah, I bought two bottles. I lent one away to a friend, and but I retained the one that hadn't actually expired yet. So, shh, if you're listening, you're still walking around, aren't you? Expiry dates, those things. Well, it's not. It just says best before.
You say that, but I have taken cold medicine thinking just best before, and it's just a pill, so what can really happen to it?
All right.
How can it expire? And I really had a strange reaction to it.
Oh, okay. All right. I can't see cough medicine being that bad, a month or two past.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it was a year.
Oh, sure. Okay, yeah.
But it was a pill. What can happen to a pill? How's it going to break down? But as I lay in my bed, unable to move, but completely awake.
My friend was cleaning out her apartment and she found, six-year-old coffee.
Yeah.
And still in the little vacuum-packed bag.
See, I would think that's still perfectly fine.
Well, it had lost its integrity, so okay. Yeah, so she's like, you want it? And I'm like, sure. And I brewed up some. And it's like, you hear stories about people finding, 1,000-year-old beer or something at the bottom of the ocean and drinking it. And yeah, not too scrumptious. But it was Maxwell House Hotel Blend. That must have sounded like something important in 2001. That was the expiry date, 2001 or something.
Yeah, I've got a little container of decaf that I've had since I lived in Songtan.
Oh, really?
So that's like 2002.
Oh.
But I don't really drink coffee anymore, so except when I come to Starbucks.
Oh. All right. Sorry. Snack.
Snack of the week.
This is your third and, I believe, final snack.
It is. And so as a big send-off for the end of My Little Rain, I brought two brand new and competing products. You may choose the one that you would like.
I like one that's dark and evil looking.
Okay. There, one is Gaman Kong.
Yeah.
Which is black bean tea. And the other one is black bean Therati, which I thought was therapy, but just reading it now, it's Therati. And they both claim to be 100% black beans, except the black bean Therati has an entire host of claims about it's good for your skin, it's good if you exercise, it's good for weight loss. Like, basically, if you drink this stuff, you're going to win the lottery and live forever both.
Oh, okay.
As far as I can tell. But the Gaman Kong, from what I understand from the ads, it just says it's good for your body.
Oh, sure. Okay. Just make a little general claim. Just anything you think it's good for, it's good for. It says zero calories.
Yeah, they both do.
Yeah. All right. Well, you could technically make the weight loss claim because...
Zero calories.
So your body needs to expend energy to digest the water. And also, too, if it's really cold, your body also needs to expend calories, bringing it up to body temperature. So, yeah, you...
Technically not lying on that one. I'm not sure where they get the good for your skin and all that from, but...
All right.
Whatever. Let's check the flavor.
Yeah. So I'm going to try the Gaman Kong. Cha tea. Kong is like a bean.
And gaman is black.
Oh, okay. Gaman Kong is black. Gamjang se. That's black. Gamjang se. Ugh. Yeah.
Oh, God, that's disgusting.
Yeah, it tastes like the corn tea.
No, the corn tea was a delicious experience compared to the black bean Terra tea. This stuff. It is hard to describe. I'm sure at some point in Korea I have had something this odd tasting, but it was not something that I would have eaten much of.
You know what? It kind of tastes like burnt popcorn kernels that have been swished around in the water.
Yeah, I'll go with that. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, it definitely tastes like something that I've eaten in a restaurant before.
Right.
Like something that would have been a side dish in water.
Okay, yeah.
But not something I'd have had one plate.
But not like a finger bowl, just meant to clean your hands.
Maybe it was. Maybe
before
it was
or after the chicken meal.
Oh. Yeah, I'll give it one last taste just in case
right.
It was the...
Give it another try.
Just in case it was the mix with the tea that I'm drinking, this Starbucks tea. No, that's really bad.
Oh, man.
Worse than the corn tea. Mm.
So we're back from our little holiday. Tuesday was Constitution Day.
Yes.
One of the four Independence Day celebrations Korea has.
But sadly, this will be the last year that Constitution Day is a red day.
No way. Getting rid of that too.
Yes, every year they get rid of a red day.
Wow.
Damn them.
But because they're given, they get Saturdays off now.
Yeah, that's
but,
the justification.
Yeah. Although, it's like... Well, technically Saturdays are off, but I'll be here.
Yeah.
Actually, that would be a good topic for in the news. But, my Tuesday. It was a really nice day on Tuesday.
It was. I took my sister to Gyeonggokgung.
Okay, right.
And we saw the changing of the guard in full costume. Right. It was very nice.
Have they finished the front gate yet?
No.
No, it's still under renovation.
No, and the museum was closed off.
Really? Oh, that's half the fun, the museum.
But it might have just been because it was
the folk museum in the back, or the one sort of in the front to the left?
On the front to the side.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I think they just might have plane moved that or something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I had one of those Schrodinger cat moments in Korea where your presence kind of alters the behavior of the Korean electrons, you know. And I went to the war memorial, and I didn't want to go in. I just thought I would sort of check out all the static displays, take some photographs, yeah. Things like that. And it's kind of cool because everything's like open. All the little armored personnel carriers are open. Did you ever ride in one as a soldier?
No.
APC? No. Really?
Wow. No, I just rode in like the covered wagon and as we call them.
Like a truck?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it's a truck. It's got a tarp over the back.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
These are the little... When you have to sit in the back, you feel kind of like it's a covered wagon.
Well, these are all the little APCs you see on television, on the news and stuff. You know, the Marines hitting the beaches. And you're always like, what's it look like in there? Do they have an espresso machine? Like, what is in there? And you get to see. And it's like, this doesn't look comfortable at all.
No, yeah. No.
I guess it's the military.
I only ever rode in a Humvee and a Deuce, which is like a 2.5-ton vehicle, and neither one of them are any more comfortable than an original Volkswagen Bug. Like, it's basically like no suspension whatsoever.
Wow.
But if you like drive over a log or something, mm-hmm. you can get over it. Like there's no situation you cannot get out of in one of them. They're really awesome that way, but not at all built for human comfort.
Okay, yeah. But so I'm walking to the war memorial, and there's a woman kind of walking towards me, and she looks down, and now I always have a policy of always scanning the ground because vomit and spit gum. That's another big one to watch out for in summertime is the gum.
Yeah,
you get stuck to your shoes, so you always got to scan the ground, you know. So so when someone's like looking at something on the ground, I'm going to look there too, see what is going to mess up my shoes, right?
Yeah.
And there's a 10,000 won bill on the sidewalk. And she notices it, and I notice it. And but she also notices me, and she doesn't stop and pick up the money. She just keeps walking along. And I'm thinking...
Because you would have seen her claiming something that was not hers.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, yeah.
Score.
Yeah. So, so I stop and I pick up the money. And but then I run after her with the money, and I kind of tap her on the shoulder, and I give it to her. Because if I wasn't there, it would have been hers, right? I mean, she probably would have looked around, no one's looking, picked up. And 10,000 won is like, that's a pair of new shoes, you know? And so she's kind of like, no, like, it's not mine. And I'm like, I know, but you saw it first. So it's yours.
Dibs.
Yeah, it's yours, you know? Like, so that was my representing that day. But I don't know, I find a lot of money. Like every year I must find about $30.
Yeah.
Do you find this, like, you find a lot of money on the street?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Cause mostly because I think we're just tuned to always scanning the sidewalk.
Yes.
Right, looking for what we're going to step in, right?
Yeah. You know, this week, in fact, that served me well. I was not particularly, I was looking for cars and not looking at the street. And I looked down and I would... just almost stepped on a freshly deceased bird.
Ugh.
Yeah, and deceased by tires, might I say.
Ugh.
So it was
icky.
Yeah, yeah. It was street pizza. It was really bad.
Yeah, but whenever I find money, I have a policy of either spend it on my students or I spend it on my coworkers.
So oh, aren't you nice?
Yeah, one time I found 10,000 won last year, and it was fall, nice cold. You know, fall, crisp fall day, so they had one of those little pojang matchas with like the banana bread and those little egg and those egg things.
Egg bread?
Egg bread, yeah. It's like a boiled egg sort of encrusted by a pastry. Yeah.
It's basically like a McDonald's egg McMuffin egg.
Right, yeah.
With like a pancake around it.
Yeah. So I bought 10,000 won worth of that hodak and brought that in for my coworkers. You know?
They must love you.
They don't hate me, but then that's all I'm going for. All right. But yeah, I guess maybe that buying your coworkers Hoduck. I think I must have talked about that on several podcasts ago. How to make your coworkers not hate you.
Yeah.
But our main topic is actually inspired by a listener who wrote some email wondering about how to make friends in Korea. He seems to be having a hard time kind of... I'm just going to have
offer a... Offer free yeah, English lessons.
Yeah. I'm going to have a little Hall's, Hall's vapor action thingy.
Yeah.
For my cough.
What Koreans call candy.
Yeah.
Tasty.
Yeah. So he's finding he's having a hard time making friends, male Korean friends and female Korean friends. And so he wanted to know, well, is this typical? You know, is it me? Is it, you know, what can they do? So, and I thought, you know, it's like, well, especially if you're a male, Korean women don't tend to have male friends, right?
Yeah.
Right? It's not quite... I mean, in our culture, it's fine that you can have a boyfriend and you can have a couple male friends and nobody blinks an eye. But here, if you have a boyfriend or a husband and you got a male friend...
Yeah,
you know,
that's trouble.
Yeah, cuckold, you know? It's yeah, like, you know... and so...
Well, there's just not much intermingling socially.
Yeah.
Unless it's as a big group. There's yeah, not a lot of... You know, one-on-one or two-on-two.
Exactly, but you know, yeah. But going out with, like, a female coworker who has a boyfriend, and you being a foreigner, you know, like, gums will be flattened kind of thing.
Yeah.
So there's a certain discretion kind of built into Korean women, I think, especially if they're known to be in some kind of relationship. So that can be kind of a tough nut to crack. And then male friends, you know, it all depends what you like to do, you know. I find that sometimes, like, you know, Korean male bonding rituals are not my male bonding rituals.
Yeah.
You know.
Let's get drunk and vomit together.
Exactly.
And then go sing.
Yeah. So, I mean, what we're doing now is what I like to do. You know, I like to sit in coffee shops, talk, go to interesting restaurants, art galleries, symphony, right? Those kinds of things. And even in North America, I find it hard to get male friends to do that. So a lot of times when I talk about my friends, they're almost always female, because it's just much easier to get females who like to do those things, you know, than to get males who like to do those things. So that's kind of a problem, and also too, and this is a universal, especially if you're male, you know. By the time you get a certain age, you've got your friends. You know, you've got
yeah,
your best friend, you got a couple male friends, good male friends, and you don't need any more friends.
Yeah.
You know? So when you're the new person in town,
you're the only one who needs a friend.
You need a friend, right? And all your coworkers, you know, they've got their friends. They've been living in that city for all their lives, and they got their friends, and they may not have any time or space in their life for a friend. So you got to scan the obits, I think, you know, the obituaries, and like, oh, he was young, okay, he died. Whoever his friend is, I think there's an opening now. You know, I don't know, it's like finding an apartment in New York or something. You know, you got to scan the obits.
Actually, I talked about this in the documentary today.
And, oh, really? Okay.
I think that a good thing to do is do what you like to do.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in Seoul, it's a huge city. You can do anything in Seoul. Like, they
right,
have all kinds of things going on all the time. Whatever you did at home for fun,
mm-hmm,
find out where to do that here.
Right.
And then, you know, unless you're completely antisocial once you get there,
right,
hopefully, eventually, you can make some friends in your semi-natural surroundings.
Right, yeah.
You know.
And as you suggest, the language exchange.
Yeah, and the free foreigner papers, like the magazine-esque classifieds
right,
that you can get down in Itaewon and various places around the city, they have huge listings of clubs that foreigners have. And if you're specifically looking for Koreans, they have some clubs in there that are for Koreans and foreigners.
Yeah, too. That's true.
But, you know, like, you know, it might be easier to find a club that has some interest that you have and
right,
join that and then meet foreigners and Koreans through that as
right,
well,
yeah,
you know. Because it makes it easier than, you know, just being like, hi, I'm foreign and I need a friend.
Yeah.
Befriend me.
The Korean Herald has, like, a pen pal website.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always sort of good for meeting friends. You know, MySpace, get on MySpace. A lot of Koreans are on MySpace. And obviously, their English is pretty decent. So, yeah, that's another possibility. The language exchange. And if you're a male, you know, the biggest mistake I think a lot of men make is that, you know, language exchange.
/date.
Yeah, exactly. Like, haha, you know. And then
looking for a female language exchange partner aged 18 to 21.
Yeah. And but then the woman thinks, wow, free English lessons, right?
Yes.
Shows up, you know, or just her hair tied back in a sweatshirt and jeans and, you know, and like, let's study. You've got her books and her pencils and yeah. So there's also a certain innocence, I think, here that the women aren't quite clued into the machinations of the Western male mind, I think.
Yeah.
And so you can't always come into the language exchange thing with the idea that it's a date.
Yeah. Wow. A better idea might be to get a male language exchange partner and have him introduce you to someone nice.
That's true, but you know, I have no comment there.
Okay. Well, no, I think that the way Korean dating works is different than the way that Western dating works.
That's true, too. It's always introductions, friend of a friend kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Everything in Korea is introductions, and dating is no different. And to show up at a language exchange, and you think it's a date, and you're like, oh, no, let me get your tea and your coffee, whatever. And then they think, score, free English and free stuff.
Yeah.
But nothing else.
Right. You got to be kind of clear sometimes too in your, because Korean women I think are usually used to the men are much clearer in their intent and their desire, and so they take you at face value, whereas in the West we're kind of,
you're used to men saying, oh, let's just go out for lunch,
exactly,
and spend some time together as friends, and what they really mean as friends until.
Exactly.
If we're not.
we're more used to sort of backing into it versus kind of just charging right into it, right? Because we're paranoid. We think that, you know, if we charge into it, then the woman is like, oh, he's a freaky stalker, you know. There's an ugly, awful, nasty, ever-changing line women have between not enough attention and too much attention, you know what I mean? And it's a minefield to navigate. And
yeah, we make it that way on purpose.
Yeah. So, but here it's just like, what the men have an expression like the chopping method or something. You just keep hacking away at the woman until like in
wear her down.
Exactly. That's basic it. Her defenses are down. Boom. And somehow
she has no more excuses.
So yeah, exactly.
Somehow she has to go out.
Somehow that works.
Oh, you know, yesterday I got the seal of approval for Korean men.
Oh, what happened?
I was at the Kotisau meeting, and it was before it actually started. There was only one member had arrived,
okay.
And I was washing the tables because they had done some project in there, and there was like glue on them or something. I don't know. They were just kind of gross. So I was washing the tables, and she looked at me and she said, "Oh, you would, you know, be a good for a Korean gentleman." I was like, "Oh, I guess the one qualification then is being willing to clean." Excellent, aren't I the lucky one? And she's quite an old lady.
Right.
I think she's maybe in her 80s, and just a very loud, shrill voice. And she kept repeating it every time she saw me.
Yeah.
You need a Korean gentleman. It's like, oh. Please. What I want. Someone who will appreciate me for my ability to clean.
Yeah. Well, one day I was in Myeongdong, and I got a picture of this. A man had a sign and a woman had a sign. And the woman's sign said something about, it was in Korean, but I got it translated. The woman's sign said something like, "Can you be a real man without a car and a house?" And then the man's sign said, "Well, why don't you buy the house and car, woman?" You know, and I'm thinking, what are they trying to say? You know, is it's like, I mean,
kind of social commentary on roles in society,
it's like, okay, but the obvious answer is, well, if I was the woman, my answer would be, yes, I could buy the house and car if you let me work after age 30, right? You know, and that to me would be the obvious answer. But, you know, but there's this weird kind of, it's like the men here expect the women to quit after age 30, you know, but now they're getting offended, like, why am I a meal ticket? You know, yeah. It's like, well, wait, because that's the society you've created. You've yeah. created a society where...
Why am I the meal ticket, and where's my dinner?
Yeah, I don't know. It just seemed like a really insane campaign, you know. Yeah. The answer seemed entirely obvious, yeah. but, you know.
I could buy the house and the car, but then what would I need you for?
Yeah, exactly, you know. Man, it'd be like Japan, you know, where, you know, women are like all these single 40-year-old women who've never been married. And
yeah. yeah. They need to come here where there's all the men. There's because there's more men than women here. Japan, send just your women.
That's true.
What is it? Is it 117 or 120 men per woman?
The stats I've... Yeah, that's pretty close. The stats I've read. There's a couple cohorts. A lot of them, I think the first one's really entering adulthood pretty soon, yeah, where it's about, for every 100 women, there are 115 men. So yeah, 115 to 120, yeah. So yeah, it's...
That's a pretty serious deficit.
Yeah. I have a very long, convoluted theory about how when those cohorts enter into their 30s, that's going to prompt reunification.
Oh, well.
Because, I mean, yeah. you look north, there's a whole...
A whole stack of women.
Pure
would be happy
blooded,
to have husbands
yeah.
and have houses and cars.
Exactly. All these pure-blooded Korean women, and they're going to be happy to come south,
and
right?
they won't have Western ideas until they've
no,
been here for a couple of years.
They don't dye their hair. You know, things like that. Yeah, exactly.
They'll be, well, I mean, they won't have the commercialist, you know, values. They'll be... much cheaper
exactly.
to maintain,
exactly.
at least until they get here and they see what everybody else
they
has.
They know how to sew and knit and clap their hands and sing, you know, relaxing songs to their mother-in-law and, you know.
Relaxing songs about the dear leader.
Uh-huh, yeah. So, I don't know. I just watch for it. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
All right.
I hate myself and I want to die. English T-shirt finds.
English T-shirt finds.
You yeah. found a bumper crop this week, didn't you?
Well, I had that extra week, right? So I have not been slacking off my duty. But the first kind of one was not an actual English T-shirt, but I was like sitting at Starbucks. Imagine. And looking out the window, and there was this car sort of slowly going down the road. It was in Myeongdong, very narrow alley, and this man was kind of walking, and I'm not really sure who's quite at fault, but he didn't kind of look over his shoulder, check his blind spot to see what's coming up behind him, which you should do here all the time. If
yeah.
if you're gonna alter your path, check your six, you know what I'm
yeah.
saying? See what's coming up behind you, because it could be a motorcycle, it could be a car, truck. You just don't know. So don't assume there's anything behind.
And they're not looking for you.
No, they're not. So he starts to kind of cut across the little road, and the woman in the car doesn't sort of see him, so she sort of catches his foot and then sort of twists it under
Ooh.
Her wheel. Yeah. And so, you know, I had my camera. I whipped out my camera. But I didn't quite catch him with his foot twisted up into the wheel. But I kind of got him hobbling away and then sort of sitting on the side of the road. And the woman in the car, you know, she got out and she cell phone and stuff like that. She didn't just run.
Yeah, unlike when I got hit by a car.
Oh, did you? You're...
Oh, I never told you that story?
No.
Before I was married, my husband and I had a roommate because we all worked for the same school, and they generously put three of us in a two-bedroom apartment. And it was a three-day weekend.
Okay.
And all three of us got hit by cars on each day, one person.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was the only one that was actually in a room when it happened.
Were you the Saturday, Sunday, or Monday?
I was the Monday one. I was the last one.
You're so the closer.
They first got hit. They were each hit on the sidewalk.
Okay.
By cars, and I was hit in an alley. And I was not actually like doing anything untoward. I was just walking as close as I could to the edge.
Okay.
And a car, it just clipped me with the mirrors, basically. Like, none of us were injured, fortunately. But the guy held up his hand so I could not see his face as he drove off.
Oh, right. Okay. Oh, I hit the foreigner. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. But, what day was it? Thursday, I think. It was kind of hot, sunny day.
Yeah.
And the rainy season hasn't been too bad so far.
No, it's been quite nice.
Yeah. And so I was Dongdaemun, and they were having a little outdoor concert. And one of the woman singers, she had this really funny T-shirt. And well, perfect English T-shirt, fine. So I'm trying to get a picture of it. And the T-shirt, and I got to bleep out the swearing here, but it said, F the clock. Like, beat the clock. I didn't know, but instead of beat the clock, F the clock. And so I managed to get some pictures. But then I kind of looked over to my side, and this young girl, like, you know, looked about 14 or so, middle school girl, just face plants herself, just faints dead, boom.
From the heat?
Yeah, right onto the ground. And you know, and so I'm like, my first thing is, I've got a duty to my listeners. I got to get some photos. So I can kind of discreetly take some little...
Carl, the humanitarian.
Well, you know...
Journalists go to Africa and they don't help the starving kids.
Well, I'm pretty sure when those cameras are off, they give them a sandwich, right? But first you take the pictures of the starving kids, right?
Yeah.
And then you give them the sandwich. You don't give them the sandwich first and then, because then they look full.
Indeed.
Right, exactly. So and then her friends kind of like holler to her feet, trying to make her stand, you know, like... When you faint, that's not the best position to be in after you've fainted, you know, standing, because the blood's not getting up to the head. So so I go to the little booth, Ajuma, and buy some ice water and bring the girl ice water, because clearly she's overheating, and I give it to her friends, and they tell her friends, like, you know, Anjiseyo, sit her down, you know. So
please,
like,
before she falls down again.
Yeah, so they you know, okay, maybe that's a good idea, sit her down.
Yeah, sitting. Yeah.
So sit her down, and I pull out, so I got some Mool Hughie wet naps, you know, not the vagina wet. Yeah, these were young girls, they didn't want, you know.
Yeah.
And, inappropriate. And so I give him my, what was my baby wet. So I give him my baby wet, and so I'm like, you know, just, you know, kind of wipe her face down, like, cool her off. So then I moved on, but I don't know. It was just sort of weird that they're like, no idea what to do, and people are just kind of standing around going,
silly girl, should get up.
Yeah, that girl just face planted herself, you know, she should be studying. I don't know. Man. And then, when I was there too, I also noticed this woman. She had a price tag still on her shirt.
Awesome.
Or her skirt or something, because she just came out of one of the fashion towers. And so, I don't know, she must have been, put it on or changed. Maybe she was working there or something. But I kind of got a photo of that. It just kind of looks sort of funny.
Mini Pearl as a fashion look.
Yeah. Mini. And then there's a film festival in Myeongdong now.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, it's called the Let's Queer Film Festival.
Let's Queer.
Yeah, another one of those examples of you take a noun and then you put let's in front of it, and that in Konglish is a sentence.
Yeah.
Let's English, you know, let's, yeah. There's
many, many, many examples, but yes.
Yeah. Now, that you know, your Korean's better than mine. Is that an artifact of Korean grammar? Where it kind of, may you add ja?
No. Yeah, because you can add ida to, like, anything.
Ida.
You can add ida to, like, any adjective.
Okay.
And it means, like, to be something. So, like, pretty is an adjective in English, but in Korean it can be a verb.
Wow.
Because it's to be pretty.
To be. Yepun is pretty. Yepun?
Yeah.
All right. And so how do you make
yepuda.
That? Yepuda. 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 Okay. All right.
So even, like, colors...
Okay.
Just add dog.
Let's red. Jesus.
Yeah, whatever.
All right, yeah.
Because it just means to be whatever. So it should actually be Let's Be Queer, which I think is really funny.
Yeah,
especially in such a homophobic society as Korea.
All right, yeah. Well, I think these are all foreign gay films, so it's okay to have foreign people can be gay, but you know, yeah.
So it should be like Y'all Queer.
Y'all, yeah. Oh man. And one thing you kind of notice here a lot is New York. New York is always a favorite thing on T-shirts, so a lot of, you see a lot of T-shirts. You know, I heart New York, things like that. But then I saw a funny one where it says "Visit in NYC," but then there's like a skull and crossbones.
So visit New York and die?
I think so. Yeah, okay. I don't know.
Visit New York and be a pirate? Who knows?
And then there was another guy walking with a T-shirt, and it was kind of like two hands, okay. You know, like sort of like measuring something, and it says underneath it, "It's this big." So, you know, the hands sort of ruled off about 12, 13 inches about, so it's this big. So I'm like, okay.
You wish.
Insert joke. And, man. And this is one of those cases where... without the periods, then it
does. Yes.
So the T-shirt says, yeah.
It's obvious what it should mean, but without the period, it's just all that much more amusing.
Yeah, so the T-shirt says, "Drink pee, repeat." I'm like, "Drink pee and repeat? Oh my God, does he know what he's saying?" But then when I saw the back of the T-shirt, it said something about beer. "I love beer." And then I'm like, drink, period. Pee, period. Repeat, period. So, 10, drink, 20. P, 30, go to 10, right? Okay, so yeah. Okay. So that it would have been helpful if they actually put some punctuation in there. Eats, leaves, shoots.
Yes.
What's that?
Eats, shoots, and leaves.
Yeah, eats, shoots, and leaves, yeah. Man. And there's another woman, and back of her T-shirt said, "I need all the friends I can get." Seemed kind of a rather sad statement. And then I keep seeing this a lot too, "Back to Africa." People wearing these T-shirts that say it's "Back to Africa." And then and there's another one I keep seeing too. It's like a Nazi T-shirt. Like,
they love Nazi crap here. What is their problem?
Yeah, it's like this is like the, it's not like a Buddha symbol, right? It's like the actual Nazi kind of, like, you know,
the actual swastika.
Yeah, like the Wehrmacht eagle or something like that. Okay. And then, you know, sort of with the claws on the little swastika in a circle. I got a picture of that, but I'm like, whoa, yeah.
But you have to wonder if they know what it means or if they just think it's a really cool Buddhist temple sign with an eagle.
They just see the swastika thing, Buddhism. But we talked about this on the podcast many moons ago.
The thing with the bars that were Nazi themed.
The Hitler bars, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't really get... First of all, they didn't get that was offensive.
Right.
And second of all, they didn't care if it was offensive because it's not their history.
Right, exactly, yeah.
And third, they just thought it was fashionable. Like, cool-looking uniforms.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, yeah, it's a product of, yeah, not being part of their history that doesn't have the, you know, because it's like, well, how many people died in that Holocaust? Well, how many people died in this Chinese Holocaust and the starvation? You know, it's like, people are dying all the time. And you know, it's just, you know, how many people did Genghis Khan kill or, you know.
Yeah, but this is something in living memory
people,
you know.
Yeah, so, but I like to make the point, it's kind of like, well, it's like Napoleon to us, you know, that there's probably a lot of people in the 19th century that if you had, you know, Napoleon brandy or Napoleon on a T-shirt, you know, that people would be like, oh my God, you know, like, you know. But today, you know, Napoleon, who's Napoleon? Just some military leader. So the Asian cultures just tend to see not Hitler as being a monster, just kind of more see him through the filter as being, you know, a military leader. In a whole,
a guy.
You know, all military leaders kill vast numbers of people, and so what, you know? So yeah, so they tend just to sort of concentrate on the, he's just a guy with a lot of energy and got everybody up and going, and hey, yeah.
Yeah.
Not kind
of. I think there's also sort of that insular view, like if it didn't happen to us, if it didn't affect us, then it doesn't really matter.
Right, yeah.
Whereas if it did happen to Korea, then it's like hugely important.
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, let's say if you opened up a bar in New York and called it, you know, Pol Pot or something like that, right?
Yeah.
You know, that would just maybe seem kind of like, well, very kind of 70s Vietnam kind of era, sort of, you know. But I don't know. But maybe people from Cambodia would be...
Yeah.
So I don't know. Did you find any English t-shirts?
I saw two today, actually, on the subway on the way over here.
All right.
I saw New Mind Grow Up.
Okay.
And it had, the design was the grill of like a 50s car.
Okay.
Which I didn't understand that one at all. And the other one I saw, it said, Hip H, this were, W-H-E-R, people, we. And it had a picture of Sid Vicious.
Okay. Wow.
So maybe that's like something he would have said while stoned out of his mind. I'm not really sure.
Is he the one who killed his girlfriend?
Yeah.
So, okay. Right.
No, wait. Oh. She killed him, right?
No, I thought Sid Vicious stabbed his girlfriend to death or something.
Yeah, right.
One of those guys, okay. Yeah. All right. Wow.
In Korean news.
In the news, this is kind of a case of called a Schadenfreude. What's that word? Schadenfreude.
The Schadenfreude.
That shameful joy or something like that. Because a lot of English teachers here, foreigners, are always arrested for having fake degrees.
Yes.
And which, you know, I mean, come here on a fake degree, you get caught. Do your time. I have no sympathy for
it. I think maybe just deport them. I don't think they really need to go to jail for that.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they hold them in jail for long. I think they just hold them in jail until they're deported. Yeah, and then they kick them the hell out. Yeah. But now there's been a real spate of, like, you know, Koreans, professors and stuff like that who have been sort of now caught with fake degrees and plagiarizing their theses.
Koreans plagiarizing? The shock.
I know. But who was the president? Like, President Kode was turfed not too long after he took office plagiarism or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Koreans just consider it writing.
It's just, yeah.
The fact that someone wrote it first doesn't diminish its value. It makes it a, you know, time-saving enterprise.
Well, my friend showed me this thing he was editing. It was about, God, what was it about? The Korean invention of the printing press. And the first half was really excellent English, and the second half was indecipherable.
Yes.
And
the little clues that maybe something was plagiarized.
Exactly. Yeah. All by the same author, you say. Gosh, I do a little Google search, and here's that information. Strange that. Now, the big stink all started, it was a couple years ago. There was this foreigner, he was a professor, English professor at Konguk University, and, you know, had a couple degrees, advanced degrees, and I think he was actually like professor, like real professor, Professor Track, you know, versus like the English instructors, you know, who are just called professors, but they're on the E2 visas. But this guy was actually...
if you got a PhD, you can actually get tenure.
Yeah. So, and the university had this deal where they would, when you published, they would pay you a bonus.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you know about this guy?
Quite enterprising.
Yeah. Yes. So, he was publishing in his own online journals, like his own websites, and then, you know, they keep accepting his papers. Isn't that amazing?
They love him.
Yeah. And so he was collecting all these cash bonuses, and now a lot of the people in the department were kind of like, this guy's just full of crap, you know, like he's not really... doesn't really know his stuff, you know. It's hard to believe he's, you know, has two advanced English degrees. And, you know, a lot of those students were kind of like, this guy doesn't know anything, you know. But, you know, the hierarchy here is such that it's very hard now to go to your boss and say, I think you made a mistake in hiring this guy.
Yeah, you know? What were you thinking?
Exactly, because, you know, and then if it proves there's a mistake, then the amount of shame that's brought to the school, and so everyone just, you know, you keep your head down, you come in every day, you punch the clown, and you know, when you hit 45, you get made professor, and you've made no ripples, and your life is good, you know. So and that's kind of how things work, you know. So it doesn't pay to sort of, you know, create waves and stuff like that. But yeah, but eventually somehow he was sort of smoked out, you know, like the anonymous tips. And it turned out, yeah, he was just like, his previous job, he was like a doorman in New York, had a high school degree, and he just bought his degrees in Thailand. And so it was a huge, huge stink, embarrassing. All us foreigners, of course, were just, you know, painted with the same brush. That was that year we had to get our ass down to immigration in the wintertime with our degrees, and they would kind of look at them and go, uh-huh, and they make us sign a piece of paper in winter. And
Yeah, that was such a joke.
Yeah. So,
like, I mean, I don't know what they were looking for that they wouldn't have seen. You know, like, it was just somebody wanted to eyeball our degrees. That's all it was. So if you bought a fake degree, I don't know, like, what kind of shady operation you'd be going through that would use, like, lower quality paper than, or an average diploma. Because, like, they're not any kind of special paper. They're like heavy stock, but like you can get that at the copy shop.
Yeah, mine doesn't look that impressive either. You know, a BA from the University of Windsor. Ooh, you know, like it ain't on sheepskin, that's for sure. You know, it's like, wow, crepe paper. This is impressive, man. No, at least it's not newsprint, you know, man. But there's been a couple other incidents of, usually as damn Canadians too.
Undoubtedly. Where,
yeah, but it's usually like, you know, like there's a recruiter here in Korea who's kind of like, come on, I can get you the paper. You know, they it's not that they're...
I'll work with you.
Yeah, exactly. It's a bit of a two-step process. It's not just the Canadian buying the degree and then getting the job. It's like the recruiter's like, I can fix you up. Really? Okay. You
know?
Yeah.
Awesome. The one school that doesn't require a degree.
Yeah. So, but the big news breaking last week, there's this woman, Shin Jung Ah, 35 years old, and she was like made a professor at Dongguk University, the youngest professor in history or something like that, full professor of art history. And she was like the curator of a couple really impressive art museums. Yeah. The Kumho Art Museum. I don't know. That one sticks in my mind. But anyways, so she claimed to like have like a BA and MA from the University of Kansas. All right, well, whatever, you know.
Well, she actually did study there for a while. She didn't graduate.
Right,
so
yeah.
That, like, I mean, it seems like such a random place to choose, but she actually did study there.
Okay. And then she said she had a PhD from Yale.
Yeah.
Which, woo, you know, Ivy League, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, well, that's all she needed then.
Yeah. So, and then she started kind of working in the art world, but she was, like, very capable, you know, like, I guess was good at public relations.
Yeah.
And she's a very cute woman. And I guess she knew how to flirt with the old men, you know, like the chaebol bosses and get the money out of them and stuff like that. So she had a lot of really powerful backers in her corner. And so they kind of were like, make her a professor, you know. So, yeah. But then it kind of turned out that her degree was fake. Again,
all three.
Yeah, all three, yeah. Yeah. And the whole, like, again, the anonymous reporting system that kind of ends up working here at the 5 minutes to midnight, you know, and the university, the way they checked her degree was they were like, they kind of said, well, who can we contact to verify your degree? And she said, fax this woman at Yale. And they're like, okay. So then they faxed her, and then she sent a fax back saying yes or something like that. It wasn't like they're calling the registrar's office or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
You can call my friend.
Exactly. So that was just sort of the extent of their verification. But you know, hey, you know, the head of a major chaebol vouches for you.
Yeah.
That's got to take his word, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. So anyway, so it all kind of big stink, and now she's. I don't think she's come back to Korea.
She landed in New York.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
There were pictures taken of her.
Yeah, because she's definitely up for fraud, you know, fraud, and she's going to be sued for, you know, defaming the university, and yeah, she's in a heap of trouble.
Yeah, she's defaming the university. How about the university that can't bother to pick up the phone?
Yeah, really.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, the registrar's office, that's what they do. Like, they have two jobs. One is, like, working with students with their enrollment, and the other one is working with businesses to verify degrees.
They have three jobs. Working with students, verifying degrees, and being nasty to people.
Well, the nasty they throw in for free.
Okay. Nasty. Free. A bag of nasty, please. But the amazing thing about this is that department store that collapsed back in the 90s or something.
95.
Yeah, Sampoon Department Store, yeah. Right? She was one of the survivors of that department store collapse, which people are just kind of scratching their head and going, geez, why would somebody who had this life tragedy, like, live such a dishonest life after, you know? Like, why not just do the work, you know? Get the degrees and move on, you know. I don't know.
Yeah. On the other hand, you could see it that she is seizing the moment.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
She went to school for a couple of years and didn't finish, so
yeah.
You know, she decided to just, you know, seize the day and live life as though she had graduated.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's kind of like, it's like, well, it's also, yeah, it's like, this is not a meritocracy, you know? And, you know, even if people were impressed by her actual work, and she was very good at the PR and raising funds and stuff like that, right? So part of the argument is, well, what does it matter? She didn't have a degree. You know, if the society wasn't so sort of hell-bent on, you know, you must have these Ivy League credentials, you know, that they would have just recognized her talent anyways, and she would have had that job, and why worry about it, you know? But it's kind of the way society works here is, you know, you have to have the paper, and you're respected because of the paper, and not because of what you're actually doing on the job.
Yeah. And so now everybody's all backpedaling and going, oh, well, the work she did wasn't really that great.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, she was fantastic when you thought she was a Yale graduate, but now you find out that she's not, and now she sucks.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. And this one was kind of funny. It's something about a news item. 49% of workers want to kill themselves.
Kill themselves or their boss?
Well, kill themselves, yeah. Maybe, I don't know. Not quite the postal system, you know. Your boss, your coworkers, that, you know, people fleeing in the parking lot. Not like that, right? Yeah. They just want to kill themselves. And, you know, and this had me worried a while ago. Because, you know, one of the preferred methods of killing yourself is, you know, jumping off your apartment balcony.
Yeah.
And I walk under a lot of apartments, you know, on my way to the subway. So
you gotta look up. You can't just look down for the vomit. You gotta look up for the jumpers.
That's one of the times I look up. I always look up, and I just want to see if there's a body coming down. And because I know at least one of my students didn't see somebody actually fall to their death, but was kind of coming around the corner, and there was a body on the hood of a car. Yeah. So that got me really kind of worried about,
well, like, see, now you can't park near a balcony either.
Well, that's
obviously
true, yeah, yeah.
I mean, not that that's a problem for me, but, you know.
And there's this website called Nation Master where you can get all kinds of statistics about different nations. And Korea is, like, right up there for, like, you know, leading to death by falling from high buildings and stuff like that, which is basically because, like, you know, suicide.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I'm like, okay, I'm worried. A body's going to fall on me. So when I get worried about things, first I start biting my fingernails, but then I break out my spreadsheet, and I start to spreadsheet it. So I tried to calculate using statistics that what are the odds of a jumper falling on me at the exact moment I'm passing under him? What are those odds? So I calculated it. And I'm not going to drag you down with the math here, but let's see. So is a death rate of 16 people per million dying from falling from buildings. All right. So for every million people,
This is annually?
Yeah, annually. Every year, 16 people die falling from a building. So a soul,
Per million, yes. So time, is that?
10 million.
Okay.
Yeah, so 160 people every year die falling out of a building. So then I realized, okay, so given the
area
of the soul, right, and so, and a, you know, figuring maybe a body occupies a certain amount of space, and there's about a 1 second of opportunity for that body to hit me in that space. What are the odds that that jumper is going to be that exact second in time in that exact spot in Seoul?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So,
so that's like the bad lottery.
Yeah.
Probably like the same odds.
So it turns out odds are one in 8.4 quintillion.
Oh, wow. So actually you would be way more likely to win the lottery because that's 1 in 55 million.
Yeah. So a quintillion, billion, trillion,
quadrillion.
Quadrillion, quintillion. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's a lot of zeros.
Yeah. So, you know, this is the percentage. 0.00000000000000084% chance. Yeah. So that's calmed me down.
Good.
Yeah. But now what's got me worked up now is Super Junior.
You know, I finally found out that the pink boy and the yellow boy from the Jamon Aid and Lemonade commercial are Super Junior. Singers.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you didn't know that?
No. How would I know that?
I don't know.
I am far too old to know who is in the latest teen boy band.
Oh. All right. Yeah. Well,
apparently you're not.
Well, every Monday, one of the newspapers has, like, you know, like, what are the top 10 things people are searching for on Naver, the Korean search engine? They must sort of delete, you know, sex and things like that, you know, but just so. And it's always an interesting window on, like, what are Koreans really upset about or excited about? And someone described it once as, like the pot boiling over, you know, that. There's kind of, you know, it builds and it builds and it builds, and there's no way in hell you can ever stop it. But at some point, it just kind of boils over and then extinguishes itself, you know. So yeah. So it's always an interesting sort of peek into, you know, what pots are boiling over that week. And so one of the items was Super Junior Girls. They're now coming out with a female version of Super Junior. So Super Junior is like, band 13.
Band.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Sort of.
Yeah, 13 member boy band.
Yeah, so 13 lip syncers who dance, yeah, basically, yeah. Right? Okay, so and they're all kind of very sort of effeminate.
Sort of.
Sort of, yeah.
They all look like girls. Yeah. Okay, let's just call a spade a spade.
Yeah. So now when I hear that they're coming with Super Junior Girls, I'm like, well.
How much girlier could they be?
Exactly. Like, well, so now I'm thinking, like, these 13 Korean women who look like East German shot putters, you know? Like, maybe that's what they're now going to go for, right? You know? And yeah, but it turns out that it's not 13. They're only going with 9.
Oh, well,
yeah.
Scaling back.
Yeah, and then they're not going to be called Super Junior Girls. So, you know, got your Super Junior T and your Super Junior P or something like that. They've subdivided the Super Juniors too. But yeah, so it's not going to be called Super Junior Girls. It's
Super Juniorette.
No. They're being called Girl Era.
Girl Era.
Yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah. Psh, I don't know. Sonya Shide. Girl Era. Yeah, and so I think it's like nine young women, and they all have long black hair, and they all wear white dresses. Yeah, but I was a little bit afraid that it would turn out to be like if it wasn't going to be like 13 East German shot putting women, then it would be like one of those weird little Japanese, you know, where they have like 50 girls on the stage wearing schoolgirl outfits, you know, something like that. But you know, hey. Korea's not sunk that low, so you know, we still got something to grasp onto here. This is good, yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's so funny, the extreme dichotomy between the female bands, shall we politely call them, the lip-syncing dancing performers.
Right.
There's either the ones like Sugar that are... Well, I think Sugar was one of the really clean ones where they dress like sweet, innocent little girls.
Okay.
And they do their cute little dances while they're lip-syncing. Or the ones that are in the, like, Ihyori camp.
Oh, okay.
Where,
right, right,
where they're like the slutty-looking right, pussycat dolls, one of right, these. You know, also lip-syncing, of course.
What was the woman who was, like, wearing the bikini jeans?
Oh, I don't know.
Did you see that?
No.
That was a big, big thing, too, where it's like, you know, like, I mean, just imagine, like, a bikini bottom, but it's sort of denim.
Yeah.
Okay? Then the jean legs kind of start mid-calf, or sort of mid-thigh.
Oh, like they had the white leg-warmery kind of things they were wearing?
No, this is, imagine
but it's actually jeans?
Okay, from the ankles up, it's jeans, and then about mid-thigh, it stops, and then you've got, like, a jean bikini, all right, and then sort of down the legs, I think it sort of connects to the,
okay,
to the pants or something. Yeah, and I've not actually seen this on the street.
Yeah. Sounds like something like Christina Aguilera inspired.
Yeah. But if it's this year's fashion trend, you will find out about it here first. We'll have the pictures. But yeah.
This week's teaching opportunity.
All right. I think we had this job before for the Jackie's Clinic.
Yeah, it's a pretty big school.
Yeah, but they're hiring again. Exclusive writing school hiring qualified teachers. Jackie's Clinic. And again, it's in Apkujang starting September 1. Small intensive class sizes, maximum 6 students. If that's true, you know, a lot of times they publicize, like, you know, like, especially to the parents, like, ooh, small class sizes, no more than 8, you know, and then, you know, they don't tell you that, the English speaker, teacher, you know, like, and then you look and there's, like, you know, 15 kids in your class, you know, and...
No, they really do have small classes there.
Oh, okay, all right, so small numbers are good, you know, because it's kind of, you know, I'm always like, okay, if you got 2 hands... And then, you know, you can kind of headbutt 2 other students. So 4 is usually a good number to control. Yeah, 6 is controllable. But, you know, once you kind of get larger numbers.
Yeah, once it's like 10 or 12, I don't really like those.
Yeah,
anymore.
Especially, like, I teach speaking, you know, so.
Yeah, then there's no time to speak.
Yeah, I know. It's just sort of round robin, like speak. And, you know, and the kid who's 12th in line is like, not coming around to me for like 8 minutes. I'm going to play with my pencil case or disassemble my desk or, you know, scratch my initials on the wall or play with the little rattlesnake magnets or pull out my Yu-Gi-Oh cards or, you know, I've got
anything but listen to the examples given before me.
Exactly. Yeah. There's a billion and one things that kids... Oh, God. Have your kids all spontaneously started doing this pencil desk music?
Oh my God, that is driving me insane.
Oh God, I've totally banned that. Every day I have to write on the blackboard now, no desk music.
Yes.
Yeah, what it is, it's like the kids are just taking their pencils and doing this little pencil beat.
But it's a thing where, like, you tap the front of it, the middle of it, or the back of it in a rhythm.
Yeah.
And one of the students told me he has actually printed up the... Exactly, like he assigned A, B, and C to the 3 positions, and he printed it out so he can memorize the, it's like 63 beats long or something, and then you're supposed to do it over and over as many times as you can without making a mistake.
Most of my kids suck at it, but yeah.
But they're completely obsessed with it. I have to tell them no.
You know what that's from? Have you diagnosed the... what that's from?
No, but they all seem really surprised that anybody else is doing it.
Yeah, it's I guess it kind of it's not just Korea thing. It's kind of a YouTube thing.
Oh.
Yeah, and
damn that YouTube.
Yeah, and then sort of slipped into sort of whatever the Korean user created content UCC sphere, and the Korean kids have sort of picked up on it. And yeah, it's just, but it, I mean, it's perfect, right? Because it's a pencil, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ideal annoying habit they can pick up.
So yeah, but I've extinguished that, I think.
Yeah. No, my students will actually, if I have them doing some writing work, they will be tapping with one hand and writing with the other until I like smack their hand because I can't take it anymore.
Oh, man.
And it just takes one, because as soon as one starts, they all start within about 12 seconds.
Oh,
I've got a crap job of the week.
Oh, really? What's your crap? Oh, wait, let me just finish this. Right. Teachers live in single apartments located 50 minutes walking distance from school. Shinsadong, nice place, edge of Akujong.
I will say that the apartments are apparently the size of your average dog house, though.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Philip at ejackie.com. Philip. PHILIP. Again, it'll all be on the internet, on our blog thingy. But like I say, I don't mind the smaller apartment, just less the drag and clutter and stuff. And yeah. All right, so your crap job.
Yeah, crap job of the week. Okay, I'll start with the requirement. They want a qualified, experienced, fully bilingual Korean English head teacher.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right.
For the 3-month probationary period, the pay is 1 million won. And it was not clear if that was 1 million won a month or for the 3 months. And I think we all know how it goes when something is vaguely stated in Korea. It is never in the teacher's favor. And then the regular salary after you've passed this period is a whopping 1.5 million won a month for administrative and teaching duties,
right.
Korean and English,
right.
Teacher qualifications.
Right. And the drunk white guy who smells, you know, is like making twice what you're making.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah, the one with the fake degree from Thailand who has yet to show up to work sober.
I know.
And doesn't know what sobriety feels like.
I can't keep any of my marriages going, but I can teach English, I think. I'm sorry, I'm doing a southern accent. That's highly offensive.
Yeah, especially if someone's from the south.
But you don't sound like you're from the south.
Oh, I have a good southern story, since you brought up white trash from the south. a guy got in trouble. His wife, this was in the news, his wife was making him angry.
Okay.
As, you know, wives sometimes do make drunk men angry.
All right.
And he had enough.
Okay.
I believe he may have thrown a beer bottle at her.
All right.
That did not do the trick. So he went and got his gator.
Uh-oh.
And he slapped her with his alligator.
Oh, my God.
That he had been keeping in the bathtub for 3 months.
Didn't kill her, though.
No.
Okay.
But what I thought was really funny was, like, first of all, you've got to see the alligator coming.
Yeah, sure.
Second of all, whether he grabbed it by the head and hit her with the tail, or grabbed it by the tail and hit her with the head, at some point he's got to put it down.
Right, okay.
And then he's going to be the closest living thing in proximity to this angry alligator.
Yeah.
And second of all, at what point do you be like, that's it, I'm getting the gator?
Right, yeah. It's a joke. It takes, one person to hold a gator, but it takes two people to let it go.
And I also wanted to know where they've been bathing for the past 3 months. They live in a trailer. And surely you wouldn't want to share a bath with an alligator. I wouldn't anyway.
Well, what's the rain barrel for then? Well, that's an excellent crap job. Where did you find that crap job, though?
Someone at Cotisol got offered that job, and he said, you know, he thought it sounded really good, you know, having administrative responsibilities, and
right.
He's quite a devout Christian. It's a Christian organization.
Oh, of course, yes. Right.
And as all the good ones that really know how to screw a teacher.
Yeah. Would Jesus want to be paid on time?
Right.
Why are you so selfish?
Yes. And then he said everything sounded good, and then they got to the pay, and then his jaw just dropped.
I remember when I was working on a tech software company, the vice president, just the cheapest guy on the planet. You know, like, we're work, I mean, you know, it's tax season and you got to work late hours and, you know, work till 10 p.m. And we're salaried. And so, you know, you bring in pizzas, right, to feed us. And he was just griping about, the large amounts of pizza we were eating. You know, like the pizza was being too expensive, you know.
When you're working 5 hours of overtime every night.
Yeah, it's like you've got all these people, you know, like, you know, making $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year. And you're working 5 hours overtime every night, you know, for a month, you know. And you're not paying them overtime, you know. That's a drop in the bucket, you know. Yeah. And then he had this brilliant idea that they needed a manager, a QA. And so, you know, he ran an ad. But he only had, like a budget, you know, like $25,000 a year.
This is
Toronto, yeah.
Oh, Canadian dollars.
Yeah, Canadian.
So it's like 50 real dollars.
Yeah.
Well, I guess before the U.S. dollar tanked. Yeah. I can't really make Canadian dollar jokes anymore.
Oh, yeah, you
now
can't.
Now that's one-to-one.
Very close now, yeah. So he brings this guy in an interview, and the guy had been like a QA manager, you know, like Silicon Graphics, and, you know, real solid gold resume, and guy's explaining the job to him, and yeah, it sounds like a great job, yeah, excellent, excellent, and then he's like, the salary, he's like, the salary's $25,000 a year, and the guy literally closed his briefcase, got up, and just simply walked out of the interview, just said nothing.
Well, yeah, he probably felt like it was a joke.
Yeah, the total joke. And the vice president's kind of like,
what a rude guy.
Why can't we hire anybody? Like, I'm surprised, you know? Oh, God. We always hire, like, testers. We'd pay them, like, $9 an hour. We would hire them, like, right out of college, like, community college. You know, like there was some, like, computer operator or community college, like, two-year... something or another.
Okay, well, $9 an hour for a two-year grad is not too bad.
This is Toronto, you know. That's crap.
Oh, and, okay.
You know, when minimum wage is $7 an hour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we get all really, like, bottom-of-the-barrel type people because, you know, we're paying, well, they're community college, and then we're not really requiring a lot of them. You know, it's like, is a mouse A? Something you plug into a computer, or B, something you put on a stick and roast over, you know, a fire. Yes, something you plug into a computer. Good, you're hired. You know, like, that would be the extent of our. But there was this one really nice woman we hired. Her name was Tamsin, British woman, and she was pretty cool. We would occasionally get cool people, but mostly we get really scary people. And then, you know, her contract was up, and she went on. And then I ended up at another company, and Tamsin was working at that company. And the company had just been bought out by a Seattle company. And all the employees at this company, they got stock options. And when your company gets bought out by another company, a huge portion of your stock options become real stock, and you can sell them. So in, like, the space of, you know, a couple of years, she went from earning like $9 an hour, and now she was like a millionaire. And I was like, wow, you know, like, that's excellent, Tamsin. I was quite happy for her, kind of like, wow, she did well for herself. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So you had your little Cotisol thing?
Yesterday,
right? So the good idea exchange.
Yeah, idea exchange. It was all quite right. Fun.
Did you bring my little card game thing?
I've been completely scattered with having my sister visit.
Sure, yeah.
The end of the regular term and the beginning of the new term, and I barely managed to get myself there.
Okay. All right. Oh, I didn't mention up at the top. That's our show.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, so any good ideas at that idea exchange?
Yeah, we had a lot of good ideas. It was a really small turnout, but this is like the lowest one every year because the university people just finished.
Oh, okay. What was the best idea offered?
The best idea. Oh, somebody had a really good idea about having students make a poster about some aspect of something around them, like the people who clean their building,
okay,
or their mailman, or, you know, what kind of trees grow near their houses.
Right.
Because in order to have a proper cross-cultural exchange, you need to know about your culture to hold up your end. Right. And a lot of students, they don't really know the service people around them, they see the same faces every day, but they don't think about it, they don't know what foods are indigenous to the area, or the plants, or animals, whatever.
Right.
And so when they actually meet someone from another culture who wants to learn about them, then they kind of can't hold up their side.
Right, yeah.
So doing a project to, have them interview someone who works in their area, or just an old person who's lived in that area a long time.
Right, okay.
Or do research on what kind of plants grow right outside their apartment.
Right, yeah.
That kind of thing. Just some small minutiae of their everyday world that they probably don't usually notice.
All right, okay.
I thought that was an interesting kind of idea.
Any ghastly medical experiments? I'm always interested in those.
No.
No, okay. Right. Yeah. I learned how to do, a little magic trick. Tear and restore a newspaper. You take a newspaper. You see a magician take it. Magician tears up a newspaper and then bunches it up and boom, restores the newspaper.
Yeah.
And what I found is if you go to YouTube and you look up basic magic tricks on YouTube, there's always like a couple people on YouTube who are, doing it in front of their webcam, but they're just so crappy at it that they give the trick away. And you kind of look at it and go, there's the one where you do like the hanky, the little hanky and you sort of, and then boom, the hanky's gone.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of YouTubes where it's really quite obvious what they're doing.
Yeah.
And then the newspaper tear and restore, you kind of like go, why are you tearing the newspaper in that strange way and you don't want to move your right hand? What's in your right hand? So now I've been trying to do that trick for my students. But I have to say, I do it even crappier. So
some of my students go to Magic Hagwon.
Oh, really? Okay.
There's all kinds of crap Hagwons, but at least I guess that one's fun.
Okay.
If you're going to boot your kids out of the house, at least let them go do something fun. But the tricks they learn to do, they're really bottom end,
Okay.
They'll have the trick deck.
Okay.
That they don't have the skill to move in a fashion that you can't see that they're all connected or...
Right, okay.
Something like that.
Wow. Yeah, I noticed my kids for a while, all my kids were into... It's called the French drop, where you kind of have a coin and then you you're going to take it in your hand, but you really kind of keep it in the other hand, But it looks like you've taken it, but you sort of drop it into your hand. So I don't know. So I don't know. It was like the pencil music thing. It just suddenly, every kid in my class, they were trying to do the French drop. And some kids were doing a good job, and some kids were doing a crap job. And
they go through their little phases.
Yeah.
Remember the egg phase where they would use their thumb and forefinger to make their cheek?
No.
They'd make a circle around their cheek and make the skin puff out. And they'd say, egga.
Egga.
They're really proud of it.
Wow.
That was a couple years ago.
One thing I noticed, major landmark in Korea is no more. The Burger King in Itaewon.
I saw that the other day. I was surprised.
Yeah. For those who don't know, the Burger King in Itaewon, it has two important functions. One, it's the landmark in Itaewon. All directions stem from the Burger King.
Oh, see, I use the Hamilton Hotel across the street.
That's a backup, but a lot of times it's the Burger King. So it's you want to get to the Red Door, take a right at the Burger King. You want to get to What the Book, take a left at the Burger King. It's always the Burger King. And also a big meeting spot, too, a lot of times for people. Maybe until the Starbucks opened, but, let's meet at the Burger King. And that's no more. So there's all of these directions now that were based on the Burger King, all these websites, their maps got to be changed because it's a coffee bean now. There's still a Burger King, but I guess it's moved down a few doors.
Oh, because I didn't see it at all, but I wasn't actually looking for it. I was just surprised to see, how can a Burger King be closed?
Yeah, well, I guess the landlord just jacked up the rent at the end of the lease, which happens a lot here.
Yeah.
It's like the Starbucks in Myeongdong that was right
oh,
on the
is
corner.
That why it moved?
Yeah, they literally doubled the rent, and then Starbucks is like, nah, and then they just sort of split
and
into.
Probably they were able to because of the Starbucks.
Well, that's what they thought. They were like, oh, Starbucks will pay it. But then Starbucks just said no.
But also, like, Starbucks, I think it was such a draw that it, like, sort of increased the rents in the area.
That could be. Well, that spot has always been legendary for being the most expensive plot of land in all of Korea. Yeah. So, yeah.
I used to wonder why. Like, they had that huge flagship shop, and then it moved.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that wouldn't be surprising at all.
Rents doubled, yeah. So, but then the other thing about the Burger King, too, the Burger King was also some sort of, like, cautionary tale for Koreans about be careful of Itaewon, you know, because it was like, I don't know, like 5 years ago or 10 years ago now, somebody was stabbed to death in the washroom of the Burger King.
Really?
Yeah. And I guess it's like something people always tell each other, like, you're going to Itaewon. You know, 5 years ago, a guy was stabbed to death in the Burger King washroom. You be careful. So, yeah, I don't know. But it's moved. So if you are old-timer...
Now you're safe.
Yeah, if you're an old-timer and you're trying to give somebody a newbie directions, you can't use the Burger King anymore. Yeah, Hamilton Hotel, there you go. That may not disappear.
Yeah, so Hamilton Hotel is still right outside of the subway, so still a good landmark.
Yeah.
Just across the street.
Yeah, all right. All right, then. Okay. Well, I guess next week. We'll be back next week. And I'm starting mornings Monday.
Me too. Well, I'm continuing mornings. Just different kids.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm starting mornings. I don't think I'm working huge hours. I don't know. They kept saying, oh, we're going to be really busy, really busy. I'm like,
Believe it when I see it.
Yeah, exactly. But then I look at my schedule and it's like, my boss is trying to like, well, maybe I'll move these classes over till Friday so you have a reason to come in on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, all right. Yeah, I do actually. I don't mind working 5 days a week, you know, at least showing up 5 days a week. But, yeah.
You don't have to make a special effort for it.
No, but yeah. So I don't know. So there may be a bunch of holes in my schedule. And so I'll be back to sort of getting the show edited and online in a more timely manner than it's been since they started making me actually work.
Yeah, poor Carl. Yeah, this is actually going to be like a relief for me because I've been, for the past 5 weeks, I've been working from 9 in the morning until 8:30 at night. But now it'll be 9 to 6, but I'll have a 3-hour break in the middle. I was having a 3-hour break before, but...
See, I would walk if they tried to do that to me.
Well, see, I volunteered for it. Because it had to be a teacher.
Right.
And frankly, I make way more than all of the other teachers.
Right, okay.
So I said, I'll just do it.
Oh, right.
Although I would like to point out that all of the other teachers live about a 1-minute walk away from the school, and I live like 30 minutes away from the school.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm such a martyr. I know.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't bother me because then I'll actually get my prep done.
Okay.
Because I'll be there for 3 hours with nothing else to do.
Well, you're a devoted woman.
Indeed, that's me.
All right. So send us email at gokorea@gmail.com or internet the website www.gokorea.info. All right, see you next week, and I hope your sister comes next week.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Is it your twin sister?
No, she's actually far younger than me.
Okay, all right. You got like 12 sisters or something.
It only seems like it. I've got 3 sisters and 4 brothers. Okay,
but they move around a lot, so could be 12.
Sure.
All right, okay, good. All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Then you know why I feel blue without Peggy. Not Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, gals. I love you, Peggy Sue. Peggy Sue, Peggy Sue. Oh, how my heart yearns for you, oh, Peggy.